Hey Quakers, this is RC, and I want to welcome you to Episode 0, the pilot episode of the QuakeCast. I know that myself and Dumptruck have been talking for a little while about kind of doing a podcast that sort of revolves around Quake, and we finally got around to doing a test pilot episode here. We invited our friend Marito to join us. We're very thankful that he joined us because when we recorded this, he was a little sick, so during this you might hear him coughing a little bit, so we just want to go out of our way to thank him for joining us while he was sick here. But he gives us a bit of insight into what it's like to be sort of a not only a young guy, but a new person in the Quake community. But I want to welcome everybody to the QuakeCast also, because this is, as I said, something that we've been wanting to do for a little while. We had a lot of fun with this first episode here, and we're looking forward to doing a lot more. Now, I will, of course, ask you all to bear with us on any audio issues we may have. You know, those are things that we're going to work out as the evolution of the QuakeCast goes on. Again, this is just the pilot episode, so things are going to get way better as they go on. So expect a lot of really cool guests in the future, a lot of great topics, and of course, we're not only going to be talking about Quake. I want everybody to know that this podcast is inspired by Quake, so we plan to have on developers and people who may have moved on from Quake, but actually, you know, spent probably a good amount of their time, or at least were inspired heavily by Quake at some point. And we may even have people who were involved with the Quake project at some point. So, look forward to that. So, without further ado, let's jump into the pilot episode with Marito. Marito, good to hear from you, my man. How's everything going on your end? You feeling all right?
Yeah, just recently getting over a hell of a head cold. I don't get sick often, but when it knocks me, it knocks me. It really does. Like, I was fine Saturday. I got done streaming. I was a little sleepy at the end of that. And then I wake up Sunday and I can barely stand up. I'm dizzy. I'm coughing constantly. I'm spitting up all sorts of nastiness. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? And it's just kind of trailed. I took Monday off. I couldn't go to classes. But it's still kind of there. It's still kind of trailing with me. But luckily, I'm almost over it. Luckily, you know. So
that's good. Yeah, we need you better so you can keep making maps and doing what you do. And yeah. In addition to making maps, though, you just said that you've been streaming lately. So how's that been going?
Excellent, excellent. I have no experience streaming whatsoever, and I didn't think anybody would actually watch it. But I'm slowly figuring it out, getting better, cutting out the 15 minutes of like I need to get this set up. Hurry, or at the very least, getting better at rolling with it, you know? So, I mean, it's something you gotta learn, and especially delivery and stuff, too. A lot of the times I'll watch VODs and be like, okay, I can do that better. I could be a little bit less dweeby, perhaps, but, you know.
So should all of us, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what have you, as far as Quake stuff, because I've only seen one of your streams, and I kind of was bopping around, because they're long. What are some of the kind of highlights from at least, from Quake or classic games that you've streamed?
I try to fit in Quake at least once a stream. Usually it's towards the end because what will happen is I'll have things that I want to play, and so that can range anywhere. Like I've had people ask to see me play Doom WADs, people have asked me to play random web games, stupid stuff like that. Usually just streaming stuff for my friends because it's a very small time operation, and then I'll have like an extra 45 minutes at the end of the stream, and I'll like check Funk and I'll be like, you know, what just got released. And I streamed bits from the Underwater Jam. I was streaming bits from, I think, SM-186. That was the Terracotta Jam, right?
Yeah.
So I like to fit in Quake once a stream, and because that's ultimately what I know best. And even if I'm not back into the community yet, which I do intend to come back a little bit more,
you never officially leave, you know?
Yeah, you can check out, but you can never leave. That's
right.
Sort
exactly.
of that's the rule of Quake.
Exactly.
So, I do intend to come back at some point this year and actively start working on maps again, actively start streaming Quake stuff again. But that's the community that I kind of latched myself onto earlier this year with, you know, all the stuff with the DM4 jam and what was going on around there. But, you know, all that, I felt like kind of just needed a break I was getting very hot over the summer, just very, it wasn't going well. So I was like, I'm going to step back, you know, but I do intend to come back and probably start streaming, like, actually, like, hey, this is Quake, and I'm going to be playing it, like, directly. I think I did that with Underwater Jam, I was, like, yeah. I sat down, and I'm going to play Underwater Jam, and I got through, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just sneak in there. one of the things I wanted to ask RC, did you know that he had been playing all of the, or trying to play all the maps on Quaddicted, I think in order or something? What was it, Marto? You had a really big project.
It was, and it was absolutely not feasible in the slightest, but what I wanted to do was, I don't think anybody has played through everything on Quaddicted. So essentially I took it from the top of the list alphabetically, and I was trying to play through them and document them. Problem was, I was writing essays on all of them.
I'm telling you, it was amazing.
It was way too much even for me. And I felt like it was like a chore. Like, I liked what was coming out. I was figuring like all these little writing bits out. I liked it. At the same time, I was like, this is way too much. And I remember I got to the point where I was recording demos of these. So I put up renders of the demos that I was playing, and it was Dump Truck, it was Eric W, it was a couple people being like, dude, nobody's going to watch just gameplay of these maps, which I kind of wanted to do just because there's a lot of maps on Quaddicted. A lot of maps don't have any videos of them whatsoever. So it's kind of like, if you want to know what a map looks like, you have to, the one screenshot on Quaddicted, that's all you got, you know? So I was just throwing up these demos, and people were like, dude, you need a presence on these. So I kind of stopped it for a little bit. I was like, well, you know what? Honestly, doing it as a video would be fun. I feel like I could riff on it somewhat, but at the same time, there were a lot of maps that you just don't want to play. You don't want to, you know, and I was already hitting that. I think there was the two factions one. I didn't know what to say other than it's really, really dark. It's not that big of a map, but it's very dark, and I had a lot of trouble finding my way around it. I eventually had to just noclip it. I was like, where am I going? And then writing it, I was just like, I don't want to write this, and I don't want to make a video of it too. So I kind of, I still like the idea, but I want to do something, and Dump Truck, you actually suggested this, do something a little bit more focused on like notable maps. And so, I mean, it's still kind of an idea. It's still kind of there, but I'm like, if I'm going to play through all the maps, I need to figure out a way to do this. It's not going to like eat up the next 10 years of my life.
Right.
So,
well, I can tell you right now that the Quake Grave is almost 5 years into its life, and I'm nowhere near that. So
yeah. Grant, yeah. So, I mean, that's fair. I'm telling you, right from the start, it was totally unfeasible. And I probably knew at some point, like, I'm not going to get past A, and I didn't. I didn't even hit the Arcane Dimensions maps. That is one thing that I did want to do, though, was do, like, write-ups of all the Arcane Dimensions, because I also like to do sometimes a little bit, like, fiction, like, fantasy writing and stuff. And I felt like I could pull together a cool story around all the Arcane Dimensions maps. Didn't get that far. Just stopped caring. So, you know, whatever.
That would be really cool, though. Arcane Dimensions is a really, really great set of maps, but there's no unifying story with it, which I think that would really pull that together. It'd be awesome.
Marito, talk about the VDU a little bit,
because
I don't know the backstory of all that.
So VDU is another project that I start a lot of projects. I think that's the thing that anybody listening to this is gonna realize, is that I start a lot of projects, and so this is about the midpoint of 2017, and I had been working on actually my first Quake map, and it didn't really get much of a rollout because I really was not in the scene. I didn't have a Funk account. I didn't know about Funk. I pretty much just knew about Quaddicted and like, hey, you can put your maps on there if you have any. I think I wanted to avoid the community a little bit, actually. I don't know why. I had some preconceptions about it just from things I heard about Funk and some of the people there. But I was working on my first Quake map, and the way it went was I would need this old documentation for whatever reason. I was looking for stuff on Quake from around the time people were making these early maps. Nowadays, like, a lot of it you can find from, like, your videos, Dump Truck, or you can ask. There's a bunch of threads on Funk about, you know, hey, I have this problem, what should I do? But there are a lot of these, especially tools. Tools are the big thing. There are a lot of tools that were not easily found, essentially. I know, and manuals are another problem, too. I know that the AdQEdit and the Wally manuals, for example, they're not commonly circulated. You can find copies of those programs. The manuals don't generally come with them. So I was thinking, like, dude, how long until this stuff just outright disappears? You know, like, even if it's not stuff people necessarily need, I think it is from a historical standpoint, because I do consider myself a bit of a preservationist. Like, how much longer until this stuff outright disappears? Like, the whole point of Quidicted is to preserve Quake's history. But what about the developer side of things? And I already had this Discord chat from about that summer where people were mostly working on Gary's Mod stuff at that point, because that was the scene that I was in before, was Gary's Mod. And then I torched that chat because I hated it. And I was looking at it, and a lot of people were disappointed about that. And I was looking at it, and I was like, the only way I can justify this chat continuing to exist if there was a site behind it. So I married these two concepts. I was thinking, like, let me preserve a bunch of Quake stuff and, you know, Half-Life and Counter-Strike and things like that. Let me preserve this stuff, but also be able to justify my little hole where I can joke with people. And that was the formation of the Valve Developer Union, because one of the guys that I had known from that project was a guy named Jax. And he was a fledgling web developer, like 16 at the time. He's like, I want to work on a project. I want to have my name on something. And I was like, hey, I have a project. So he built me a site, actually just past the first anniversary of it, of the site going live. That was September 12th, 2017. Just this old, very old looking kind of crappy, we styled it after like the old Steam UI, you know, the green kind of Steam UI. We styled it after that, but it was very big and blobby looking, and it was awful, mostly because of my doing. I told Jax to do it like that, but you know, he launched it and he built me this whole web application for being able to post guides for information, because I was writing for the site actively, and also tools. And the tools were very much a point of interest for people. I dug up a lot of obscure tools for that site. I was digging up, like, I'm pretty sure we were the only site to have the really early versions of WorldCraft. You can find, like, WorldCraft 1.6. That's, like, the last Quake-related version. You can find that. You can find WorldCraft 3.3. You can find all these different versions. We were the ones who were, like, compiled it all. I mentioned, you know, manuals earlier. We would find documentation on these programs, compile it all. Some really old obscurities, like Virtus Deathmatch Maker, which if you're of a certain age that I'm not, you know, there was a bit of, you know, fun to be had around that, so I've heard anyway. I found a copy of it on Amazon for $5 and threw the CD up online. I was like, yeah, this is what it was. It was a piece of crap. Here's the two episodes it came with it, you know?
It's really funny too, because I love the site, and I've used it as a resource, just personally mapping, and I've linked to it here and there and mentioned it on the show. But one of the funny things is you say Virtus Deathmatch Maker. It's so funny because, you know, I started with Quake obviously in the beginning, then went away from it for a while, probably gosh in the 2000s, right, when I had, kids were little and kind of, you know, still gaming but not in the Quake scene at all. And it, so I would touch back on Quake every once in a while, and it's so funny how those brain cells are so gone, and it's funny to see you dig these things back up. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I remember this thing, and these are thoughts I, you know, tools and programs and things that I have not thought about or come across in so long. So that's one of the things I loved about the website, is that it was like almost like a blast from the past, some of those articles. And they were bite-sized too. I liked how they were brief. It was to the point. I mean, I'm looking at the site right now and it really is helpful. I mean, especially some of the stuff I had never heard of.
Yeah,
so
that was
good show on that.
Thank you. Yeah. that was sort of the whole point of especially the guides, was like, I'd have a question, or people would come in with a question about mapping. I didn't want to write gigantic reference articles about whatever. I wanted to answer a question in each one. That was sort of my MO for writing guides, is for example, one of the earliest things I wrote for the site, and one of the last things I rewrote for the site before we unfortunately shuttered it, was how do you convert a wad of textures to materials, which materials are the source way of storing textures. They have two files, essentially, just for a really basic one. You have the actual texture itself, and then you have a properties file, essentially. It's called a material file, a VMT. And people, I had this question myself when I was working on a very old project of mine, GM Quake, where I was trying to take all of the Quake stuff, convert it to Gary's mod for use as sandbox maps. It was crap, but you know, I was thinking, like, how do I take these wads and how do I convert them to materials easily? And I had this weird workaround, but I essentially wanted to put that answer out there, even if it's not necessarily the most necessary thing. It's just kind of like somebody might have this question, somebody might have it now, somebody might have it 5 years from now. I want to make sure that they have an answer to that. Or I remember an article that I was really proud of was writing about balance in Quake levels, and specifically the way that items are placed, you know, health and ammo and how you place them. Because I remember from the months of being in the Trench Broom chat, people would come in and they'd be like, you know, what's the right balance for placing ammo? And this is a problem I struggled with. I mentioned my first map, way too easy. I was placing giant nail boxes everywhere, so people were no danger of running out. It's a tough balance. So I looked at the id levels, and I was thinking, like, you know, how did they balance it? How did they, you know, what were the numbers of health packs that they were placing in an area? Where were they placing it? And then I just sort of compiled my findings, and it was all in these little like do's and don'ts, not necessarily to say I'm, you know, this authority on it, but just sort of, this is a good reference point. Like, for instance, you probably shouldn't put more than like 3 health packs in an area, 3 to 5, especially if they're not the rotten packs, because then, you know, you can bring a completely dead player back from the brink. You don't want to make it so, you know, there's just too much health. Again, like all these little reference points. So I was trying to answer a question in each specific one. And sometimes it was a question somebody had. Like, I have, there's sort of a kid who floats around our chat. And I do mean kid. He's quite young, but he's good at what he does. And he asks me, how does water work in Source? So I wrote a thing about the way the water shader works. And it's actually pretty interesting when I start to dig into it. Sometimes I surprise myself. I learn something in each and every single one of these. I was like, so that's how that works. You know, it's actually like a bunch of things layered on top of each other. And that's why you can't have, or sometimes glitches that I would encounter and I never dug into. I'm like, oh, so that's why that happened. So it wasn't just a learning experience for the people reading the site. It was a learning experience for me, which is the thing I was really excited about. I was like, oh, cool. So that's why that does that. You know?
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I learned by doing these tutorials for Trench Broom, because, you know, no one has it all in their head. I mean, a lot of people know a lot of stuff, but there's always going to be some holes in there. And that's why it took me a while to do some of these videos, because I didn't want to sit there and teach something I really didn't understand top to bottom, you know, soup to nuts kind of thing. So,
yeah, that was a problem with the site, too. I'm limited in my knowledge because I'm a bit of a contrarian, so I don't like to play a lot of like really big game. It took me a while even to come around on Quake Champions. But you know, somebody, we would have potentially large audiences who would want to see articles about like Counter-Strike Global Offensive or Dota or TF2 or something about modeling or something about coding. I'm like, I don't know anything about these, dude. If you want to help me write it, absolutely. But that was ultimately partially the downfall of it, is that I was doing all the writing and I was limited to what I knew about it. So, you know, I could go on and on about mapping, but you know, I was also like 17, 18 at the time. I was like, it wasn't that long ago. I was limited to what I knew and I didn't want to write about something that I didn't know, you know? that was largely what VD was. And unfortunately now the site is very, very much not being updated anymore. There's a big banner up at the top, which I absolutely dismissed the first time I saw it. It's a very long and kind of personal story. I did write something about it for my website, but I'm not recounting it here. It's just differences between that Jax guy and I. We couldn't work together essentially after a little while, which was unfortunate.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate because we were doing very, very well with it. But it was just like a series of events from like probably November of 2017 leading up to now. And I just threw up my hands. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore, dude. You know, you're either here or you're not. And he's ultimately not here. So it's unfortunate. Right now I've been working on transferring all the site content to a NeoCity site just as a static backup, because one of the nice things he left me with was a memory leak that crashes our database every so often. Unless I poke him like every couple of weeks, Cassandra just craps out and the site errors constantly and you can't read anything. And I actually had a guy on my Steam profile a couple days ago, like, why is the site dead? Why can't I not see any of the articles? I'm like, it's our database. So, I mean, it's up now, but yeah, it's really, really an unfortunate situation. And I want to make sure none of that is gone. I want to make sure that even if I'm not writing for it, the writing is still there, you know, because it is a very helpful. It helps me. Like you said, it helped you, Dump Truck. I want to make sure it's still there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's important, too, because, you know, we have, you know, so many games from the 90s that obviously our community and many people find to be these, you know, games that inspired them to do a lot of things, you know, with their own development, mapping, that kind of thing. So it's good that you're trying to, you know, preserve this stuff. You both actually, Dump Truck and Marito, because for someone like me who came back to the scene, you know, just a few years ago, I wanted to try my hand at mapping for the first time. It was nigh impossible to find a lot of information, you know, about a lot of this stuff to be like, okay, like you were saying earlier, how am I supposed to put ammo in the map? You know? And something as simple as that, you know, for a newbie like myself coming back to do maps and stuff was pretty intimidating. And of course, being new, you're like, well, I don't want to ask these guys who have been mapping for 20 years, you know, because they're going to just laugh at me. So I'm actually really happy that you guys are trying to preserve this stuff. And I'm sure a lot of other people are too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the first one to say, like, Dump Truck has brought in a ton of people into this scene just over the past year. I'd honestly consider it a new era of Quake mapping. Because I've always thought Quake can be divided up into eras. You know, you have like the old era, which is like the first 4 or 5 years of the show of the game being out and people making maps.
It's
for
the Quake show.
The Quake show. Yes.
I'll circle back to that, by the way, just yeah. Remind me to get back to that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
But then you have, you know, around 2001, 2002, you have some of the bigger guys, really start CZG, and all them, you know, it's really starting to pick up speed and people are doing some crazy stuff with it. 2010 or so to like 2016, 2017, you're really seeing like huge maps. It's really the age of huge maps, you know, Arcane Dimensions, Sepulcher, Honey, I would say that era starts with Honey. Honey is just ginormous, even today. So it's really like, I think that's where that whole thing started. And now in 2018, we have a lot of new people coming in. And it's a lot of people who are not really bringing that traditional Quake mentality where, you know, now the engine can handle a whole lot more, especially with the source ports that, you know, have been cooked up. We're no longer limited to really tall rooms and, you know, R speeds and all these more limiting factors. People can make these gigantic vistas, not always to their benefit, but we can make them. And you've had guys like Artistical is like my go-to example for this, because the dude just continues to make really off-the-wall kind of stuff in Quake. He brings a lot of visual storytelling to, you know, and it's not stuff you traditionally see in a Quake map. And that's why I consider this basically a whole new era, is because we're getting not just people who are new to modding altogether, we're getting indie devs, we're getting industry professionals, what's his name? Andrew Yoder, I think. He's done a couple maps, and every time he brings something different going on. I remember it wasn't that long ago. I know I sound like back in the day, but, you know, I remember his first couple of maps, even they looked pretty promising.
He has Attack, a really specific was
the one where he was doing all this crazy stuff with doors. And I'm like, you know, I like really dynamic levels, and it was DM4 jam and stuff like that, that made me realize like, you can do a whole lot with dynamic level design. You don't need to make everything static. And then to see him with this, was it recursion or something like that? Like, dude just keeps doing cooler and cooler maps. And I'm thinking, like, this is a new era. This absolutely is. So I'm excited to see where it keeps going, you know?
I think part of that is also because a lot of them, and in my opinion, a lot of them are younger people, right? So they weren't, like, RC and I were kind of, you know, around when Quake came out. So we kind of remember it. We were there. And so, but a lot of the younger people, you know, are coming in and they have played a whole body of other games. And then they're coming back to Quake or discovering it for the first time. And those ideas have to seep into those levels. Like, that's a great point about artistical stuff, because he really, like, he's never seen anything like it. Andrew Yoder is a perfect example of someone who's a pro, but he digs Quake, and he's in, same with Joshua Skelton and people like that. Although Joshua doesn't make maps, which makes me very angry, but I've seen little snippets of his stuff, and you guys would be, I don't know if you've seen him, Marto, but the stuff that he does, just these little snippets, are pretty jaw dropping. And he'll cheat. He'll go into Blender and do all this stuff and then bring it back to the Trench Boom and everything as OBJ. So, I love that you said it's a new era. It really is. It feels like it. And I know people have credited myself, but I could be responsible for some mappers coming along. But I just think, you know, heat generates more heat, right? The oxygen burns and people start seeing things, and it kind of just carries on its own and explodes on its own. So I'm hoping, you know, we're already at 130 maps. I have it up here. For this year, let me fire it up here, because it's probably been updated. 129 maps in 2018, and there were only 117 last year total. So we've already beat last year, and I know we'll hit 250. I'm sure.
Yeah, we're only in September. It's the year is still young.
Yeah, we'll make 150. And the thing is, too, we're getting one little aside is we're getting a lot of Doom mappers, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yes,
because you get that they just want Doom to live in the Quake engine, and I just am totally against that. Although some people have done it, Tronin has done maps that, you know, kind of remind me of Doom. But let's put it this way, you can do it. It's not my cup of tea, and people aren't doing it well. But, you know, maybe we'll see some really interesting things from that subset of mappers, you know.
Perhaps my only counterpoint to that is that a lot of them, especially since I didn't even know if, like, GZ Doom, yes, that's how you say it. I don't know if engines like that, do they support room over room yet? That's one of the things I like a lot about the Quake engine, is that verticality to it. I've talked about this on stream before. Part of the reason why I don't care as much for Doom is everything feels very two-dimensional. People have argued with me if it's technically a 3D engine. I don't care. It feels 2D, which is fine if you're making stuff in Doom. There's good Doom WADs. But that's one of the things I like the most about Quake, is that you can have giant vertical levels, you know, that vertical element to it. That's why something like, for instance, the wind tunnels, E3M5, that's why that level feels so dynamic, is that you're not just zipping around on, you know, a horizontal plane. A lot of it is vertical too. You're moving up, and you know, especially when Quake does platforming too, which doesn't always work. First person platforming is also, you know, a can of worms. But when you get, you know, maps like that do it well, it feels so much more dynamic. Or fighting enemies on multiple levels, there's a reason why I always tell people, like, get more verticality in there. That's something I ended up learning with my DM4 jam entry. I was thinking, like, I need to have constant progression vertically. People need to be fighting enemies vertically. I remember there was one part of the map where there was like a trench and you had ogres like raining down grenades into your trench. I'm like, that's really fun and it feels really vibrant. And so that's something I always try to encourage. I did anyway, when I was again in the trench room chat, is I would see people with their new maps and I'm thinking, you know, it's good, but get more verticality in there. Get people fighting and moving on the Z axis. You know, it's super important. So it's funny that you mention, you know, Doom mappers, because I feel like a lot of the time, especially people from that camp, tend to neglect it. As much as I liked that map, there was a release earlier this year, Dreadbase, that very much felt like a Doom map. It even used free Doom textures. Like, it was a good map. It was very big and it was very horizontal. And I was like, I really, except when it didn't feel right, like you, there would be, you know, it'd be too tall to aim. I was thinking like, the verticality is a very big important, you know, important part of levels. I feel like it could have been used better. So that's something I always try to encourage with new mappers, you know.
Going back to what you were saying about a lot of the new people that are joining and everything, you know, in your opinion, I guess I could say, I know you mentioned Dump Truck's videos are probably one source of bringing a lot of the new people in. And since you're a younger guy, what do you think is actually bringing all these younger mappers in?
There's a huge resurgence right now of retro FPS games. There's a whole lot of interest in it. Not just with, I don't know what you call them, retro revival FPSs, you know, things like Dusk, like Strife.
A medieval stuff like that.
A medieval Iron Maiden, but that's actually on build, which is fantastic.
Yeah, right.
I love the fact they're making a new game on build. That's excellent. But there's just a lot of interest in it right now. It's sort of like a microcosm of what's going on in general with retro gaming, is that a lot of younger people are looking at, you know, they're not oblivious. They know about like the past 30 years of gaming, and it's easier than ever to play these games, especially with like emulators and things of that nature. And it's easier than ever to get Quake running, because we're no longer, like I said, we're no longer limited by all of these things that, you know, you read older, you read some of the readmes, you read some things on Quidicted, people will talk about like setting heap size and all that. You don't have to do that anymore. It's super easy to get anything you want from this game running. And the level editors are only getting easier as well. I was talking again on stream to a guy who is primarily a Doom mapper. I'm like, bar none, Trench Broom is the easiest editor you'll ever use. It is just fantastic. And I have a fascination with older editors. I mentioned Deathmatch Maker earlier. Now that BSP is being updated, I've played with that. I enjoy it a lot. It feels much smoother now. But for anybody who's new or anybody who's like not weird like me, absolutely, Trench Broom is the only one you'll need. Some people swear by Jack. I've used Jack. Jack was my first editor because I like I said, I came from the gold source kind of scene. So I knew Hammer. So Jack was my first, you know, Quake editor. That's a really good one too. But Trench Broom, it, especially to somebody who's like used to a 2D editor, it'll be like weird at first, but you get used to it super quickly. I knew it took me by surprise because I tried it the one night. I didn't have Jack, and I was thinking, like, I guess I could try Trench Broom. I don't know how it is. Tried it. It was weird for a couple hours, and I'm like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. I hopped on during, I think it was one of the RC, like the release candidates for 2.0. I hopped on around there. Bar none, best editor I've ever used. So people are seeing just how easy it is to create content for the game. And how easy it is to get content running on the, you know, the newer source ports. And, you know, it's never been easier. So I think a lot of people are, you know, they take an interest in Quake because it's retro, but then they stay because, you know, it's got something that not really a lot of games nowadays have, which is, you know, the level editor. And, you know, it ends up attracting a lot of creative people. And a lot of those creative people happen to be young, full of, you know, ideas and passion. And I think it's really cool that Quake has managed to, you know, keep this cross section of, you know, the older guys who are in some cases coming back. I hear Than is coming back.
Yeah, he's making maps now. which is great.
That's fantastic, because he's one of, like, the mappers. I think he's
did
up
you,
there with, like...
Did you just say that's fantastic?
It's fantastic? No, I did not say
that. Well, you didn't know.
No, but here's the thing with Than, a little anecdote. I did, you know, 5 must-play maps, and it took me forever to do it because I wanted to at least try to play all of them to completion. But I didn't. It wasn't a let's play. I just wanted to make sure and, you know, be able to speak from a place of authority on the maps. And one of them was Than's map, and I can't remember the name right now. But yeah, but the right as I was literally uploading it, and I noticed he posted, and I was like, oh my, what a coincidence! That this is so funny. That I was just posting that video when he comes back into the editing scene, and everybody was really excited. You know, people who knew who he was and knew his work on the Discord were kind of flipping out. So
yeah,
that's cool.
I'm glad. Like, but you know, just to finish up that thought, I'm glad that Quake is, you know, it's got this cross section of the older guys who are in some cases coming back with even easier tools, even easier ways to share their work, and then of course the new guys who are just coming in. And especially since we're having, this is like the year of events. I heard Newhouse the one time he was speculating that this was going to be the year of episodes. This is the year of events. Like, it's just one after another, almost exasperating, but really, but there's a lot of opportunities for a new mapper to get in on the ground floor. A lot of people, because it was my first event, that's why I keep referencing it. A lot of people made their debut in the DM4 jam. That pack was huge. Absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we've seen this year also record turnout for a speed map pack, you know, so there's ample opportunities for a new mapper to come in, and maybe not necessarily have to deal with that anxiety of a solo release, which honestly I think is a double-edged sword. I think we need more solo releases, but maps are maps. I'm not turning it down. You know, it's easier than ever. So people are just making tons of stuff for the game. I think that's why you're seeing so many new people come in, I think. Yeah.
So expand on that a little bit, because you said that you think there should be more solo releases than sort of the jams that are coming out. You know, what's your take on that?
Jams are fantastic as mapper experiments. You know, you have a theme and you have a deadline, and it forces you to make decisions. It forces you to come up with something, especially if it's a speed map pack, because then you are very limited. So you have to basically do only what's necessary to get that map, you know, wherever it goes. With a solo release, you don't have that, you know, pressure. And I think a lot of people's best work tends to come in the form of solo releases, you know. There's a lot of, especially like even older mappers who, you know, were very prolific. A lot of them, you know, participated in speed map, you know, the early speed map packs, the early speed maps in general, the older funk jams. You know, it's not a, you know, I'm not saying jams are a bad thing, but the fact that we're only having jams, I feel like kind of it's making it so people aren't really polishing maps to the point of being super memorable. That doesn't mean we haven't had highlights this year, because we absolutely have, but it does make me wish people were kind of like stepping back a little bit and being like, well, you know, this is my statement. This is my big
right.
project, and I want to, you know, polish it, share it with people. And I mentioned Newhouse because he's still grinding away at the blue episode. I've played an early version of it. It's going to be pretty fantastic because he's putting that effort in. He's really putting that time in to polish it. And, you know, when I was going through it, I was just like, this is freaking insane, dude. Like, this is fantastic.
I've played a recent version, by the way. It just keeps getting better. So it's going to be a treat. It's going to be a real treat fantastic. For everybody.
Yeah. So I feel like we need a little bit more of that. You know, I like the jams. I like the fact that people are coming up with, you know, more creative and more interesting jam concepts, and people are doing things with those concepts. But I wish there was, you know, some polished solo releases kind of just to balance it out, you know?
Yeah. I don't think anybody would argue with that for sure. And I could definitely see what you mean. Like you know, I like a big pack of maps. I'm definitely not going to complain about that, but I totally understand the whole, like, you know, kind of takes away like a bit of the statement and, you know, the message and everything that the author puts through. You know, it's one of those things where when you play through somebody's map, and I've said this a few times on the show, but when you play through somebody's map, you can definitely tell their taste. You can tell where they're coming from. There's a certain design, you know, that they bring to Quake that's fully unique to them, you know. And I think we could apply that to many, many people. But sometimes, you know, when you get a big pack of maps, it can be hard to suss those out from each other when you're combining everybody's together. And, you know, it can be hard to, like, as you say, make that statement with your design, like, this is what I'm doing. Actually, there was a map that came out at the end of last year, and I forget the name of it, but I played through it. It was the one that was like, it was red. And I think the author put out a couple of releases of it, but you basically would hit buttons and it would move parts of the level, like move platforms around. I apologize that the name is not coming to me. But had that been released in a jam pack, I feel like it would have been, actually, here it is, Shifting Planes of Existence. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So Spipper put this out. And while this map may not have been everybody's favorite map, I thought it was like one of the most unique releases of the year, because it was moving the map as he hit all these buttons and everything. I thought it was really, really cool and very inventive. But had that been released in a jam pack, I feel like people would have like sort of released, you know, a few of their playthrough demos on it and been like, well, here you go. There it is. But because it was released alone, I feel like it got more notice because of that. And it certainly made me pay attention to it more.
You know what? I don't think I've played this map. I'm looking at it right now. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm going to download it.
I recommend
right now.
It. I think it's honestly really good. He has, like I said, make sure you get the newest version of it, because he has a couple versions of it. But
it's Quoth. Yeah. That's why I'm not against Quoth maps, but I usually put it on hold. I like press the pause button because I have 45 different installs of Quake across three different machines, and I really need to unify them. I really do. It is horrible. So sometimes I don't even have Quoth available. It's like, oh, I don't have it on this one, damn it.
That's funny. So Maritel, jumping back over to you, I know earlier you had talked about, you mentioned real quick, and this is something that stuck out to me that you were talking about. You said you don't like to play, or maybe I'm putting words in your mouth there, but you said you don't play a lot of newer games or AAA games. Is that how you would put it?
Yeah, it's not a thing that particularly interests me, nor am I financially able to keep up with it, I guess. Okay. Is the way you put that. You know, I don't think a lot of people like to, and I have friends that have done this. I've done this. There's a lot of people who want to just outright dismiss everything going on in Western gaming right now. And I think there is talent in that pool. We have some of it in the scene, but I feel like it's kind of become personalityless because of how large the budgets are, how you really can't have a game like, I mean, remember, Quake was like, how many people? I don't think it was even 20, right?
Like, No.
No, absolutely not. It wasn't even that big.
I think it was maybe 10 or 12 people.
Exactly. Yep, that sounds about right.
That game, you know, it's why we're here. The game has a serious personality to it. One guy did all the music, and it was like him and two other people who did sound effects for it. So you had a serious personality just in the audio department. That game could not have been made with a AAA studio. And again, there's nothing necessarily wrong. There have been some very good games to come out under the, you know, AAA system. I don't feel like that's every game. I feel like it is detrimental to gaming at this point, is having these gigantic studios who have to focus test and play, you know, craft the game that's going to recoup all their losses. We need losses. Absolutely, we need losses. I know there's a lot of people who jerk themselves silly over, say, Looking Glass. Looking Glass was nothing but losses, but they made some of the most important games of the 90s. And you can't have that in a AAA scene. So I'm sure I have nothing against people who work for giant studios. I have nothing against the work of giant studios. I don't think I think it has a tendency to be very bland is the problem, is that you can't really, take a solid gameplay idea and sort of develop that out in on its own. Portal is another example of a game that was a very small development team. Yes, it was Valve, mm-hmm. who at this point were, you know, they had Steam, they had, I mean, granted, they weren't like the powerhouses that they are today, but it was a very, you know, it wasn't a small company. People knew who Valve, you know, were in 2006, 2007. Portal was a very small team. Portal was essentially a bunch of students, you know, but they made one of the most important games of the 2000s. One of, you know, it absolutely dominated. I've met friends over that game. GoldenEye.
Yep, it's absolutely a classic for sure.
It's absolutely a classic. Just one more example. GoldenEye on the N64. Most of the people working on that game didn't have any experience whatsoever in the game industry. They weren't veterans. They were pretty much just doing whatever. You know, there's a lot of interesting stories from the development of that game where, like, they would model the environments before they put gameplay in them. So you had a lot of dead ends. You had a lot of, it felt more like a real world. It didn't feel like everything was kind of there for a gameplay reason, you know? They originally meant for the game to be like a rail shooter. Then they kind of, you know, and you could still see that in some levels. I think Jungle is an example of a level where you can still see where they meant for it to be a rail shooter. But they just ended up keeping the level even after Bond went free roaming. So it's like, we need people in the bigger, these, you know, the wider gaming industry who can take these risks. And I don't think you can do that with the AAA model. It's just, it's unfortunate, you know? So that's why I'm not as interested in it, because I don't think it's coming out with particularly, you know, hard-hitting stuff over and over. And I think the indie scene is a little too saturated at the moment. You know, we have a lot of talented indies. You mentioned Osric earlier. And despite kind of the balance problems I had with this game, I thought it was, you know, a really good showing so far. You know, ultimately, gaming is in a weird spot right now, but I don't think a lot of the interesting stuff is coming out of the AAA scene, just to answer your question, you know?
No, that's a fine answer, to be honest. Yeah, one of the things that you, because you know me, I'll play anything, you know, on my YouTube channel. I'm into a lot of different genres and styles of games. One of the things that bites me about AAA games is, I would say within the past, what, 8 years, they've really, really leaned into the, you know, microtransaction stuff, and it is really bad with the loot box stuff they've been introducing as of the past 5 years or so. But Dump Truck, I want to ask you, as far as your gaming habits go, do you play anything else besides Quake?
I knew this was going to come up eventually. It's really hard because I love the game industry. I've followed the game industry for many, many years. I'm interested in it. I have PlayStations, I have Xbox, I have PC games. I always go back to Quake, so I'm almost more of a Quaker, and I'll tell you why. I'm older, I'm not as good as game, you know, at games. You know, I've played a lot with my kids, so I don't want to say I'm not a gamer. I'm definitely a gamer. I know everything you guys are talking about. I may not have played it, but yeah, when a AAA PlayStation 4 game comes out, I usually will at least sample it, you know, and I'll blow the $50 or $60, and I'll blow the money, and then sometimes it sticks and I'll finish it. But I've kind of backed away from buying games for this reason, because it is so much more enjoyable to create content. I'm very fortunate that I'm a creative professional, so I get paid to be creative every day. But obviously, it's not like the rush of making a level. You know, I just, making maps for Quake is the highlight of all my hobbies, you know, let's put it that way. And so I kind of say I'm more of a Quaker than a gamer. I know it's very cheesy, but it's not for lack of love or interest. I think when I retire, I will game all the time. I just have limited spare time. And so I choose to make maps or content, you know.
No, that makes sense. Have there been any games that have released, say, the past 5 years that have really kind of stuck with you besides Quake? Like something you were like, wow, I really want to play more of this.
Well, I guess you put me on the spot here, but...
Yeah, I apologize. I'm kind of just seeing what you've been inspired by lately. Yeah.
What I've been inspired by was the gameplay, and I know I know not everybody to agree with this, but I think the gameplay in Last of Us, although that's getting now longer than 5 years, but Last of Us was a really great gameplay, and also the multiplayer, because it was extremely challenging. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not a break the controller kind of guy. I used to be when I was younger, but but I mean, I'm telling you, if I was going to break a controller over a multiplayer game, it was going to be that. But it was so unique. And Marta, you should check it out just online, because there's the crafting that's present in the game is present in multiplayer. So you're constantly upgrading. I believe it's four and four matches, and it's like permadeath and, you know, or long spawn times, let's put it that way. So it's a team play game. I like objective-based team play games probably the best. Okay. So when I guess CTF is coming for Quake Champions, that's when you're going to see me jump into Quake Champions when there's a objective. So, but Last of Us multiplayer blew me away, and then by extension, Uncharted 4's multiplayer was pretty fun, although I didn't play as much of that. So
that's cool, though. Yeah. No, it sounds like you have wet your appetite with some newer games, so that's good, because I know that I talked to some Quakers in the community, and a lot of them literally only play Quake. And I find that really interesting, because I love Quake. I play Quake, but man, I love all games. So I always find that very interesting that certain people can, they dedicate their lives to just this one game,
I know, it's weird. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. When I was in the scene, more active in the scene, I should say, I was pretty much only playing Quake for like a good 4 or 5 months. I was like, dude, wow, that's the last time I played another game. And I tried to make inroads with it. I tried to branch out to even some older FPS games, because they're all very different. I was enjoying Turok for a bit, the remaster of Turok that came out on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
I was enjoying that. It's really the only game I can think of. For real?
Quake and Turok.
Yeah, there you go. Those are my gaming habits, I guess.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, I guess that's pretty much been it. I don't know. Postal, I was replaying a little bit of Postal too. Yeah, it's mostly older FPS games with me. But no, there was a good, chunk of time where I was only playing Quake. And I felt a little bit obsessed. Granted, I really was not in the best position when I came into the Quake community. I don't feel like I made the best first impression, because I was in a very bad spot, but yeah, very, very, very weird how that works. That you ask, I've seen it. You guys have seen it. You've experienced it. It's pretty much just like, yeah, all I've played for the past little while is Quake. What can I say? I wonder if it's the same thing in the Doom community. Like, are there people who just go like months and months and months without playing it?
Oh yeah. Before?
I believe it. Yeah.
Some of those guys in the Doom community, that's the only game they played since 1993. So,
right. And I will, one thing I do want to say about this, though, is if you think about, I do love Mario, right? So any handheld Mario 2D side scroller, I love. I'm not really good at them, but I enjoy them. I'll fire them up and play those. So those I definitely will return back to. But if you think about that same gameplay style, like I bought one of the Nintendo Classic consoles just last weekend, 2 weekends ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was playing Super Mario World and a couple other things that I hadn't tried. And there's a reason you go back, because the gameplay is so tight, it feels so good, it's familiar, you're good at it, and I think that's why Quake any game, you could say this about any really classic, well-made experience, the movement physics and everything in Quake, and also Quake 3, because I'm a huge Quake 3 fan. The movement physics in Quake just feel so right. So when you go to something else and it just doesn't feel right, it's like, why? I'm going back to my baby, because it just feels so much better. And this is such a rewarding experience. Also, RC, I'm kind of like you. When the Quake first came out, I was much more into multiplayer, because when Doom was out, I was on Duango in Long Beach.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I used a modem to dial up. I met a very dear friend who we're still friends to this day over the Duango, over playing Doom 2 on Duango. So when Quake came out, it was like all multiplayer. I mean, so I am kind of revisiting some of these older classics, like kind of in similar to what you said earlier. You know, there's so many things you missed. I might as well just go back and play some classic maps. So I'm very much in line with that. Multiplayer, I played so much Quake, and not online either. I had LAN parties. I had these epic LAN parties at my house. So we had like, you know, anywhere from 8 to 17 people. I did it once a month. It was just so much fun.
That sounds great.
Those days are long gone, but it was a beautiful thing, I'll tell you.
That's unfortunate. That's honestly the one thing from the older Quake scene, and really just the older gaming scene in general, that I wish I could have seen, because I've, at various points of my life, I've definitely been a very kind of lonely person, you know? So I'm like, I wish I could have seen, like, LAN parties and just getting people here to play games. And that's honestly one of the things I'm really kind of hoping for at college, because I'm in college now, is finding people to just, like, play tons of games with. And they're all over the place. Pretty much everybody in my dorm is playing games constantly. So, you know,
yeah, I highly recommend trying it. I've had LAN parties more recently, and they're usually much smaller. Yeah. And my kids definitely have at least a couple every year. So people, once you get someone used to the idea of carting their machine over, that's all you need. All you need to get them is to sit down and plug in and be in the room with you, and it just becomes a whole nother experience. You'll get hooked. I highly recommend try it at school. Get like rent a conference room or something. And just, you know, put a message on the bulletin board or however you do it nowadays. And I'm talking bulletin board back in my days, like literally a bulletin board. But give it a shot, man.
Yeah, that sounds, yes, definitely, absolutely.
I can remember my last LAN party experience because it stuck out so well. But back when I was in high school, we went to this education center for half the day. It was sort of like for us to get like a trade school degree while also in high school. But this place like had these, you know, top of the line computers and network and everything set up. So over the summer, we were good friends with the teacher at the time, where I started my, you know, web design graphic stuff back then. So the teacher took an interest in me and I liked him, and I kept in touch with him. And over the summer, I actually brought a few friends back to the school where this network was. And I was like, hey, can we play Warcraft 2? And he was like, of course. So we installed Warcraft 2 on like 4 or 5 different computers, and all of us were playing. And it was just like such a great time because we played through like, you know, 3 long rounds of Warcraft 2, and we got Taco Bell, and the teacher was involved, so he was into it too. And man, yeah, I got to say, like, if you can get a LAN party set up, man, it's just like a whole other experience. Like, I think a lot of kids would equate it to sort of like when Halo first came out or whatever their first Halo experience was, and actually, you know, playing that on the couch with their friends or setting that up as a LAN party as well. Like being able to shout across the room at a guy like, hey, what are you doing? You know, where did you come from? That kind of stuff is just awesome.
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned Halo, because I was about to mention this because you're mentioning, you know, playing games at school. Final year of high school, we had this really awful business class, like second period. We all hated it, but because kids are crafty, somebody managed to bring in a copy of Halo on, I guess it was like a flash drive or something. He had it set up on all of the computers because we were in like a computer lab. And the teacher, I never got involved. I should have, but I think the teacher hated me, so that probably would have put a stop to it. But every day you would just hear the sounds of Halo in this room, and the teacher was powerless to stop it. You know, second period, every day, people playing Halo. I'm like, that's awesome. So
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
I feel like we should, you know, get close to wrapping things up here. Marito, I got a few like last minute, like we'll call them like, you know, spitfire questions for you. We'll bring it back to mapping here.
Absolutely.
So number one question, we're putting you on the spot. Okay. What is the least favorite map of yours that you've created?
Least favorite, given that I've only made 4 of them. I mean, probably the one I was the least satisfied with. I mean, it's probably not a contest. Probably going to go with my debut, Temple of the Strange, just because I had no clue what I was doing. It's a lot of fun. I think the level came out pretty decent.
It's a fun map.
Gameplay-wise, it came out well. Problem is, it's funny that all over the readme, I'm like, I want to make a classic Quake level, and I didn't know what the hell texture themes were. I'm like, I just mixed everything together. I don't think it came out visually terrible. It's not like I was using like brick textures on the, you know, ceiling or something. Not that you can't do that, but
well, we're coming up on a year, almost an anniversary of your map. We're about a month away from that. Since then, you know, you've released a few more maps. Yeah. Which one would you consider your favorite?
The drop, my DM4 jam map. Honestly, even if I screwed the ending on the jam version, that one I'm the most proud of. Absolutely.
And it was good.
Another good map. You had some really great, just little set pieces, tiny set pieces like the rocket launcher where you drop down and all that stuff.
DM4 jam
and the trench
really,
that you mentioned.
Yeah. DM4 jam is really that, and talking to Newhouse are the two things that kind of really woke me up as a mapper, thinking like, I can make this more dynamic. I can make this more interesting. I can stack more scripting onto things to make a level that feels a whole lot more alive than just something very static and all the brushes are world spawn and nothing is happening except for like these tiny little things. You can have stuff going on all over the place. And I still don't think I've really hit the peak of that. I don't think I'm anywhere close to it. I want to see where else I can go with it. You know, I have some gameplay ideas. Even if I'm not mapping actively, I'm definitely going to chase them down in the future, you know?
All right. Next question. Yeah. When you are mapping or doing something creative, what is your go-to snack and or drink?
Oh God. Mostly I keep a lot of water on hand. In the summer months, I can go through like 3 or 4 tall bottles of just nothing but water because I don't know. I really should drink more water now. Actually, I feel very dehydrated, but,
especially if you're sick,
especially if I'm sick, but it's funny. Actually, you mentioned that because the first night I tried drinking some water, cause maybe I'm dehydrated. Massive tension headache. I felt like cold water was probably not the best idea, but yeah, I need to drink more water, honestly.
Any snacks, anything, snacks, munchies?
Snacks. Any variety of Cheez-It, generally. I like Cheez-Its a lot.
Those are making me hungry.
Yeah.
And we'll give you the last Spitfire question here. Thing you like most about being a part of the Quake community now?
Thing I like the most? There's a whole bunch of people who are willing to just tell you how it is, which is the one thing that I tend to get scared of, because people look at me and they think, oh, he's so matter-of-fact, he's so authoritative. People have taken it for cockiness, which I totally can understand, especially with some of the experiences I've had. But if you're looking for feedback on your map, you can absolutely get it here. This is not a community that will kind of just like softball you. Like if there's a problem with your map, people are absolutely going to tell you about it. And especially if you send them versions to test, people will be like, this is freaking weird, dude. Bal, for instance, I remember I have kind of a project looming in the background that I is probably going to take me a couple years. I wanted to remaster the original Quake campaign because, you know, there's a lot of texture issues with it. There's a lot of like very low detail areas. The lighting is really weird. I wanted to overhaul it since all the sources are out. And I sent Bal an early version of just the deathmatch maps that I had been working on. And he was just pointing out stuff all over the place that I haven't even thought of. I was like, oh, that's a really good point. I didn't see that. So people in this community are very, very attentive to detail, and they will notice things and they will tell you things, which is something that I've not gotten from every creative person I've worked with. Like I said, I hang around a lot of creative people. A lot of them, you know, you get, especially writing kids, they're very sort of mousy. They're very much not going to tell you what you need to hear. Quake people, absolutely they will, you know? So I think I like that a lot, you know?
Awesome. I think that's a good note to go out on. Yeah. Merito, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Again, we want to thank Merito for coming on the show. You can find his maps on the Funk message board and, of course, Quidicta.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC. And you can find DumpTruckDS at youtube.com/DumpTruck_DS. We'll see you Quakers next time on the QuakeCast.